Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cera Sanitaryware Limited Q1 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Markets Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Raman. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, we welcome you all to the 1Q FY18 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. We have with us Mr. Bharat Modi, Strategic Advisor, representing the company. I now request Mr. Bharat Bhai to take us through the quarter results, and then we shall begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kamlesh Bhai. I'm Bharat Modi, Strategic Advisor to the company. Cera welcomes all who have joined this call. Before I start, let me read out the disclaimer, which is as follows. Certain statements in the release concerning our future growth prospects are forward-looking statement within the meaning of the applicable security laws and the regulations. These statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties beyond the control of the company that could cause actual results to differ materially from those appearing in such forward-looking statements. The risks and uncertainties relating to these statements include, but are not limited to, risks and uncertainties regarding fluctuations in earnings, our ability to manage growth, intense competitions, including those factors which may affect our cost advantages, wage increase, or ability to attract and retain highly skilled professionals, political instability, managerial limitations, and legal restrictions of acquiring company outside India, and unauthorized use of our intellectual property and the general economic conditions affecting our industry. Cera Sanitaryware may from time to time make additional written and oral forward-looking statements, including our reports to the shareholders. The company does not undertake to update any forward-looking statement that may be made from time to time by or on behalf of the company as a sequel to or in continuation of these statements. The company also expects the media to have access to all the parts of the release and the management's commentaries and the opinions thereon. This release based on which the media may wish to comment and/or report on the same. Such comments and/or reporting may be made only after taking due clearance and approval from company's authorized personnel. Company does not take any responsibility for any interpretations, views, commentaries, reports, which may be published or expressed by any media agency without prior authorizations of the company's authorized personnel. I would now try to give you some glimpses of the performances that we have achieved in Q1 of FY 2017-18. Let me share that despite the subdued overall market trend, largely because of the GST rollout, still we could grow on our top line, which is close to about 9.31% on a Q-to-Q basis. However, we admit that the profit margins have slightly slipped down by about around, let's say, 12.82%. According to unaudited financial results for Q1 released by the company after a meeting of the board of directors, Cera has recorded a net sales income of 244 crores in April-June quarter, as compared to 223.94 crores in the same quarter of the last year. The net profit for the Q1 is total of 19.29 crores as against 22.13 crores in the last quarter of FY 2017. Cera has recorded EBITDA margin of 35.58 crores in April-June as compared to 38.61 crores in Q1 of the preceding year. The earnings per share, basic and diluted during April-June 2017-18, are worked out as 14.83 compared to 17.01 for April-June quarter of the last year. The company has for the first time adopted Ind AS beginning 1st April 2021, with a transition date of 1st April 2016. Having said this, I would now state or suggest to come on the questions from the participants, and we could begin the questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Anshuman Badri from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My question is regarding the demand. So how do you see the demand going forward in the next 9 months? And how has the segments performed in this quarter? And what is the outlook for the segment, like sanitaryware, faucet, and tiles?
Well, as far as the historical data is concerned, we already have said that we grew by about 9.21% MSS conditions. Honestly, April as well as May, both were reasonably good for us in terms of our growth. Unfortunately, you know, as the GSD date was announced and was rolled out, there have been a lot of destocking that we experienced at the dealers and the distributors' hand. And therefore, June, particularly the month of June, remained very subdued, which pulled us back in terms of our growth that we had registered far more badly in the earlier 2 months. So Q1, we could close with about 9.21%. The GST, you could look at in two ways. You know, one way you could look at it, what is matters to the company, and the GST, what it matters to the distribution channel. Now, as for the company is concerned, we are very well geared up. You know, we have an SAP in the place, and we are absolutely online with the government requirements, and we have been adhering to everything. Question is, the dealer distributors who are comparatively a small businessman or a reasonably medium scale businessman, now they had to take a call how they really would like to take on a GST, in what way. Because they were carrying a lot of stock that was pre-GST regime, and then they had to destock that part because they were all apprehensive about what kind of a credit they would be getting. And that was coupled with a lot of confusions whether what kind of a credit would be available on a stock that they would be carrying on. Plus, the priority was to really adhere to the GST norms in terms of getting registrations, getting taking the advice from their own consultants in those territories about where they would really be able to adhere to the GST requirements. So the priority for a business was slightly on a backseat rather than it should have been taken. But as the time has now passed, the things are improving, and we feel that the quarter that we currently are talking, the quarter July, October, July, September, is we experience that, okay, there have been a demand which is opening up now. And when we take a full year, yes, I would still maintain that this is the year of a consolidation. The entire year would go in terms of what way the GST had an impact, number one. Number two, what way the monsoon, which probably as of now has been really giving good sense of economic revival, is also good, and the demand should open up. But we need to really understand what are the repercussions that we would carry because of the GST and all. But largely, when you take a long-term view, I would say long-term view that's beyond 1 year or beyond 17, 18, these are essentials. The commodity that we, the kind of a goods that we deal in, they are absolutely essential. And though they are a discretionary spending, but without a toilet or without a bathroom complete, the entire apartment, which may be running into about 200 times the cost of the bathroom, is not complete. And therefore, this is a very critical part for a human living, which has to be there. It's only a question when one would really get on to that partner, would like to really continue that. That's a decision which one can defer it for a while, but not indefinitely. So on a long run, the growth has to be in double digit, far more into double digit. And we should go back to what we probably would think that, okay, anything about 18-20% growth when you really take a stock of a situation for the next 3 years. 4 or 5 years down the line, it's a sustainable, maintainable growth.
Okay, in the nine months, we can expect double digit? 12?
Well, I cannot really say, you know, because this would be absolutely forward-looking. And as I said it, you know, the current trend is education and revival. We are already, you know, close to double digit. We are almost about 10% growth, 9.21. To getting into double-digit growth is not a difficult situation looking to the kind of a strong brand presence and the distribution that we have.
Okay. The last question is on margins. So can you expect any price hike going forward?
We already have taken a price rise effective July, and all new bills which, you know, post-July The orders which were placed prior to July have been billed at the earlier price, but any new fresh orders that which have received and been delivered are in the new price. We have taken a price as across product, across territory, anything around 2.5% to 5%, and therefore the cost push that probably has affected our Q1 profit margin. We hope that it should be revived back gradually.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kaushal Bothra from Crisil Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is, if you can just share the breakup of segment and YOY growth.
But, you know, if I really take this sanitary ware, pure sanitary ware is about 46% of our business. And the 12% is coming from an allied product, which are allied to the sanitary ware, making the tally in a sanitary ware to about 58%. We have about 21% business coming from faucet ware. We have 19% business coming from tiles, and we have 3% business coming from a wellness range of a product, which comprises of shower panels, bathroom cubicles, shower partitions, bathtubs, etc. And when you want to compare those percentages, in last 2 years, we had close to about 64% was coming from sanitary ware, out of which 13% was for the allied products. And that was leaving to about 51% close to for a pure sanitary ware. Faucet was about 20%, as against now we are 21%. Tiles was 14% last time, which has gone to 19%.
Okay. So my second question is that currently in your results, we see a large inventory. So that would be related to which segment, sir? Largely attributable to which segment?
Well, if you really talk about inventory, you know, we have inventory which is well within our control. We have total inventory that we are talking. Just wait a minute, I'll give you about those figures. About 104 days inventory that used to be last time, and we have 109 days. So, it's about 40 days and now it's 38 days. Total inventory number of days. I do not think there are large inventory, but then, okay, segmentized, that's possible sometimes. Because sometimes what happens, you know, the faucet is picking up a business, or sometimes it is a sanitary ware. So only on a Q1 result, if you try to really make a judgment about a trend that it would have, probably both of us would be wrong, even if I try to share a figure. So I need to take a complete, the composite figures that we have about 38 days as of now on an inventory working days, as against 40 days that we had. There's a slight increase when you talk about a working capital. I might share further that the debtors have gone from 54 days to about 61 days.
Okay.
But otherwise, inventory is well within control. But then,
okay. And sir, if you can just share the April, May and June month, the growth, YOY growth for each month.
Well, we had in April, we had a growth close to about 20%. Then 20%. We had a growth of about 18%, close to 17 to 18% in May.
Okay.
And when you talk about June, we had a degrowth.
Okay.
And that I largely had attributed a reason to the GST rollout date was announced, and then people had to gear up in terms of what would happen to the inventory that they would carry. So they were busy liquidating their own inventory in terms of destocking rather than making a fresh orders.
Okay.
And therefore, that month we had taken a hit, which had really, you know, pushed down our total Q1 results, which limited only to 9.21 in terms of the growth.
Okay. So in June, how much you would have degrown, if you can share the percentage?
Come again?
In June, how much you would have degrown?
But we would have degrown by about 10 to 12%, maybe 15%.
Okay. And sir, any special measures did you take for GST for dealing with the distributors at the retail level?
Well, we need to educate them. We need to stand by them. But there are no special these things. But, you know, we need to educate them that, okay, it's in the interest that, okay, they need to fall in line with the GST, and we would only be supporting you on wherever you could account and you have a GST or probably a VAT paid stock lying in your inventory.
Okay.
So we wanted to stand by the complete distribution channel wherever the inventory total that they were carrying. It's a multi-product, multi-brand dealership. So they need to, identify what is belonging to Sera, and then we were all trying to help them out so that they can take the credit of this.
Okay. And so my just one last question. How has been the uptick in this quarter, in the first 2 months?
Well, first month is reasonably good, but then, you know, the rain has upset a tremendous new activity, and therefore across, generally this quarter, quarter two is always dependent upon the rain affected areas. But we still hope that we should be able to grow reasonably well. But then, therefore I said the entire year in a year of a consolidation, you can't expect that we would be growing exponentially. We feel that, okay, at the end of the year, we must be in a double digit, which is close to the middle of the double digit.
Okay, okay. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Bharat Bhai. Thanks for taking my question. And appreciate on the top line growth in a very difficult time. Sir, three questions from my end. One on the newly developed segment, which is bath renovation. Can you give some color on how this segment has been doing, or how you are getting response from the market? Some detail about the bath fitting renovation side. What is the average ticket size currently you are taking up on project turnkey basis? And what kind of reasonable margins you keep on a broader scale by taking up those projects. That's number one. Number two, on dealer side, last quarter we mentioned that we are planning on revamping our distribution and dealer network as SAP has provided some details how few of the channels are not active as per your expectation. How those exercises are being taking place right now, and what management is doing to revamp those inactive network. And third, on your view, how post GST Morbi is being shaping up and adapting to the new tax regime, and your view on how Morbi as a competitor will face the business competition in terms of your growth. That's broad three questions from my end. Thanks.
Your three questions covers a large amount of things. But anyway, I'll try to help you and address everyone.
Yes, thank
you. For the manifold, even if those you have not asked or who would like to know about more about this, home upgrade division is a new division.
Right.
Sera has been eyeing this business for a very long time, trying to really, see, okay, there are a lot of renovations everybody would like to do. But generally what happens that this is a too much hassle, you need to find out a masoner, you need to find out an electrician, you need to find out somebody who can really coordinate, you need a supply chain, you need to identify a lot of material that you need to go and scout for, that kind of a thing.
Right.
And there is a time and a constraint, and not that, people don't want to do it, not that you can't afford to do it, but then there are the hassles, and while staying in the house, when you open up a bathroom, it makes a tremendous amount of stress because kitchen and bathroom, these are the two important things. Kitchen, again, you could outsource and you could dine outside, but when you have a bathroom which is stuck, therefore people do not want to take chance unless, for a compelling reason. So we came out with a thing, can we really minimize the time? Can we really coordinate every activity? And can we deliver? And then we probably started on a test case basis where we now promise that within 5 to 7 working days, we can completely open up and redo the bathroom.
Correct.
So there's been a team which has been, a dedicated team which works, and we have selectively started this activity of renovating bathroom in few cities, starting with Ahmedabad. We are in Pune. We probably are also now trying to get into Chandigarh. We are also trying to go down south. And there's a dedicated efforts where the service products in terms of the faucet, tiles, as well as the sanitary ware would get pushed in. But then there are also some bought-out products that we want to complete them in terms of offering them the lighting and the geyser, and also offering every services.
Right.
where you know our man would give you a design and then you have an option to choose a design out of many options that they would throw you. And then what kind of a combinations and a 3D computer you could see it, how these kind of a combination would look like when your bathroom is done up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all, and the complete supply chain is managed by our people. So you only have to hand over. Our people come who are very trained people, skilled people.
Mm-hmm.
And we promise them to do it in 5 working days, extended at the most of 7. That has been a record as of now.
Okay.
So this has been very successful effort on our part, and we eye this business as a tremendous business in a time to come. Though, in terms of the cost, a lot of people, when they compare, the cost would definitely be more, at least about 50% to 80%, depending on how you would like to do it and what way you choose it. Because when you outsource so many things, we also in turn outsource, and we also need to keep our margin. But the response is excellent.
Okay.
The question is, you know, the execution capability is what would be put to test, and that's what we are trying to really cover up on that part.
Right.
So this is what the home grid upgrade market. Second question about a distribution that you asked, you know, this is an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have an ongoing process, you try to really validate every dealer distributor that you have, and you come across some people who have been doing business, or people who have been slightly, you know, they need a push.
Mm-hmm.
And they become active, and some people probably feel that, okay, now they've gone either to a competition or they've changed the complete line of an activity, they are not there.
Mm-hmm.
So the ongoing process, which, you know, you always have about 100 dealers getting in, about, you know, 30 dealers getting out. But at the end of the day, you always gain because you increase your dealership network. And it's, we try to intensify where we are strong anyway, and we also try to cover up newer areas where we are not there or we have a less presence. So this is an ongoing process. And when we have a now SAP in a place, you know, these gives us a very good management information who are active or not. So the efforts to focus on how to reactivate them, to understand their difficulties, to really motivate them and, you know, try to push them becomes a little easier for us. So that's what the third stage. And third, last question was about Morbi.
Right.
I believe, you know, that's an industry which probably has been contributing. Morbi is a hub, and Morbi would contribute a lot to the entire building material industry in a time to come, which has been witnessed by the entire industry. Almost 50% of the business stems from only Morbi hub, Morbi and Allied.
Okay.
But generally, they go on a lower level because their cost advantages. But now, and the methods of doing business also were suitable to some kind of people who are able to accept those kind of a thing. But when the GST comes and they'll have to gear up, I'm sure, you know, there are some good people in Morbi who would certainly become very adaptable to this. And it's a lot of economic value the entire Morbi has created in terms of putting up so many plants. So either there will be a settlement between bigger fish eating the smaller one. There could be a lot of JV coming into it. And the bigger one may probably try to get into the GST regime and become more organized.
Mm-hmm.
And some people who are, though they are smaller, they also try to adhere to this because that's the way the growth would come for them.
Mm-hmm.
So Morbi is a force to be reckoned with. And, but then, yes, with GST, the way they are known, reportedly known to do the business, have been clamped. And therefore, a lot of things will go a change. That's what we all see into that.
Okay. So you see they are actually adhering to GST regime? And
well, I do not see. These are the market reports. Probably, you know, wherever they'll have to do it. Maybe for if they can't do it now, they'll do it after a quarter more.
Right.
They might take a little more time.
Correct.
But they are entrepreneurs, and you can't just take a look, they will stop doing business. No, I don't think so. We must respect them.
Do they have taken aggressive price hikes because of the tax changes past month?
Reportedly, I know that they have not been doing business very aggressively in this quarter because they have done very aggressive business in the earlier quarter, which ended due to pre-GST regime.
Okay, they must have pushed the product.
Absolutely, you know. Reportedly, we do not have very authenticated news, but then, you know, we keep on hearing from the market, you know, they've given to the dealer distributors who had an appetite only for 2 trucks, they've given them 10 trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Pay as you and you can pay.
Right.
You know, that's the way it is. But then, you know, what would the other man do with 10 trucks
right. And
take a credit in a GST of those VAT paid? A lot of issues that they need to sort out among themselves. But they are trying to take a very easy thing for Q1 on this. I mean, sorry, Q2 also.
Q2 they slowed down.
They are slowed down, and they probably would, you know, take a stock of the situation. They are keeping a close watch what way the things are moving, and then they'll come back with their own strategies.
Correct.
They're capable lot of people. They're very, very strong entrepreneurs.
Correct. But have you heard price hike, aggressive price hike they have taken because of the tax rise for them earlier?
They've been playing little subdued, you know, they've been playing little low in this quarter, so they might come back with a price rise, you know, you never know. They'll have to do it, you know, when you fall into GST regime.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other benefits that they probably had for other kind of means that they were adopting have been washed out, so they'll have to take a price rise.
Okay, you haven't heard anything about price.
Well, we keep on hearing, but these are hearsay, so I can't really on this platform really share the information you're asking me, because, you know, even if I say I and both of us will be wrong on this.
Correct.
That's not our purpose. The purpose is to share what Sarah is.
Understood, sir. Thanks, sir.
So I can't really comment on what Morbi is doing, so that questions, though you ask, I try to answer, but I can't really take responsibility.
Right, sir. Thanks. I will join back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to know in terms of the gross margin. When I say gross margin, sales minus the raw material cost, it tend to be very volatile. From 56%, it declined to 49% in fourth quarter. It's about 51.2% in the first quarter. What I wanted to check, is it to do with the seasonality or is it to do with the product mix? Because if I look at the product mix, the percentage of revenue contribution from each of the product doesn't change so much. So would you be able to elaborate a bit on this gross margin volatility, sir?
I mean, why do you call it a volatility? Because we already have reported a profit margin, you know, net profit just slipped down by about 15%. So it went from 56%, it was from 49%, it went to 56%. That explains itself. Even my bottom line also is explaining that part. So this has been reflected into our top as well as bottom line. Let's not stick to where, you know, you are trying to find out a margin which is both that. And honestly, you know, we are a debt-free company, so there are no more interest payment that we have been paying, number one. And the depreciation also is as per only what we have added in terms of our CapEx. So if you really see our bottom line, you know, we have slipped down on that. That's what my first admission was when I opened up my remark, was that though we grew by about 9.21%, our bottom line has slipped down.
No, actually, I was...
And bottom line has slipped down because my EBITDA margin and the margin that you've been talking also has been in a low rise, because we have not taken a price rise and we have absorbed every cost. You see, you could really see that either my revenue goes up, or my cost is down. My cost remains the same. My revenue did not go up because we did not take a price rise, and we have taken a price rise only effective July. And therefore, you could see is that there's a contraction in the margin. Whether you relate that margin as an EBITDA or above EBITDA or a gross margin that you're trying to find out by deducting the purchases minus the sales, or even for that matter, go back to the complete bottom line.
Okay, okay. The second question I had, in terms of the industry growth, would you be able to offer some comment as to what is the industry growth you're looking for, sanitary ware, faucets and the tiles broadly? And when we say, 18-20% growth, probably 3 or 5 years down the line, does it mean the market share gain or this is the industry growth for us?
You see, there are two ways you could look at it. Currently, the market is subdued. And if I really say the market is subdued, I've been saying almost for last two and a half years that the market is subdued. The reason is because we have been, you know, until 2014, FY14, you know, we had an exponential growth. CAGR was about 36% plus. But then gradually, we were coming down on that by 25% growth, then, you know, 18% growth. And then it was about 15% growth, then 12% growth. Now, this market has been very subdued. But despite this, when you take, you know, a comparison, I mean, some of the industry players, we still have grown far more better than the other people.
Correct.
So the industry itself is not growing or was subdued, and then this is very cyclical. The every construction industry, you know, if you really see, this kind of cycle does come every 7 years. And it prolongs for about a couple of years, and maybe sometimes if the excess inventory in terms of the ready houses are there, which have not been absorbed remain, you know, EMS below for about 3 years. Now, probably we feel that we are coming to a fag end of that particular thing now. But then there are issues in terms of the government which, you know, reform issues, like demonetization, number one, GST, number two, the RERA, which is very important act. And all the three acts, you know, they have affected the construction industry largely. Demonetization, prior to that, you know, we all know that a lot of construction was being funded with unaccounted money. And these demonetization has always put a lot of issues and raised issues, which the industry only can answer. We are nobody to answer that part. GST has tried to regularize that part, and therefore, you know, you have more of an accounted business coming into the fray. So there is a regime, there used to be a regime which used to accommodate unaccounted investments. You are shifting to a GST. Demon has come and really given a lot of shocks to them. And now the RERA, which puts a lot of regulatory directives to the new builder.
Right.
For the benefit eventually for the customer. Now, you know, if you really want to be a global economy with the government and every Indian we are aspiring to, your fundamentals have to be clean. And these are the efforts that really go to clean the fundamentals. But it's a process. When you talk about this process, it really takes on about a year, 2 years, because, you know, you have been living in a kind of a region that I talked about for a number of years. Now, in 1 year, 2 years, if you try to cleanse up that part, probably it's a Herculean task. So we need to wait and watch, and therefore the growth suffers.
Correct, correct. So
but once you are out of that part, you know, there's a lot of opportunity because housing is a need. The government itself is eyeing that housing for all by 2022. The Swachh Bharat Mission. You know, if you really see the sanitation per se has been on a rise in terms of the increase, the intensity of this. Today, as per the statistics, only 34% of the Indians have an access to proper sanitation. The rest of 66% still go and defect in open fields. Now, this is what has to be rectified. And therefore, you know, if you really see in a totality, the market is tremendous, tremendous market. And therefore, once, you know, you stabilize, you come out of those kind of odds which probably had become, you know, in terms of regulatory things, would only become a tailwind to you. That will help you to take up a growth, but then where it would happen is a matter of a judgment. And even if I say, you know, we'll start growing from a next quarter, probably my judgment may be wrong, and maybe it might take 3 or 4 quarter more. So I'm thinking, you know, next 3 or 5 years, if you really talk about, the growth would definitely go, get restored about 20%. Industry may grow at about 10-12%, but we have always outpaced industry growth. Historically, if you see, we have grown double or maybe 3 times more what the industry is growing.
Right, right. No,
we have those tailwinds, you know, we'll bounce back.
Correct, correct. So I was wondering, you know, in terms of the tiles, probably might be a little more penetrated. So the growth rate could be high single digit as compared to a sanitary ware, which could be high double digit. Any such color I wanted to basically gain?
You see, it's ultimately it makes a complete product mix. You know, we had once upon a time, we are only known as a sanitary ware company, but now we are a complete bathroom solution provider. We have a faucet, we have a tiles. But when you have a base which are lower compared to the sanitary ware in faucet as well as tiles, the growth will be always more for us. So in the time to come, when I really see a business model that would have 50% would come from sanitary ware, 45 to 50%, you know, we'll have about 30% business coming from faucet, and maybe 25% business still coming from the tiles.
Got it, got it. Secondly, in terms of the, so you talked about probably a mid double digit, mid teens kind of a growth for the full year. What kind of margins one could look at for the full year FY18 in your view, sir?
Well, it would be too you know, early to really say anything about this. But then we would bounce back to the margins that we have been reporting. You know, it's a question about a quarter or a 2 quarter more.
Okay, okay.
Because we have taken a price rise, we have been trying to take all the measures about a cost control, and then we would bounce back to the EBITDA margin that, you know, we have been reporting. So about 17% plus margin is not difficult, and PAT, especially, we would like to do 10% plus. These are business aspirations. It all depends upon the market and market forces, which are very dynamic on this.
Got it. Just last question in terms of the tiles distribution. Where are we in terms of the
network, what is the current level we have in terms of the distribution or retail, and how much of this is going through the existing sanitary ware channel?
You see, largely it is going only through existing sanitary ware channel, because we've been our dealer and distributors, it's very easy for us to really push the product into that part.
Okay.
So this is largely going into that. You know, there are no dedicated only Cera tile store. Even we do not promote that also, because we want to go at a component bathroom solution provider rather than a known only for A product or only for a B product. Strategically, and what our business goals and the objectives are, that we want to project us as a complete bathroom solution provider.
Correct. So, in terms of the retail reach, you would have any number for the tiles?
You see, generally, every dealer or distributor, even if he is not keeping, can always arrange the tiles. You know, what we have supporting this business with our own display centers, studios, what we call them.
Okay.
So, even if somebody, you know, today is not selling our tiles, and some, you know, a customer comes and says, look, I want the tiles. And if he probably can convince the customer to go and look at it in a studio, have a code number of a design, come back with a design that you like with a code number, and we'll arrange in 48 hours.
Okay.
So there is nothing that, okay, I don't give ties to somebody who does not have a kind of a thing. You know, he's able to give mobilize the business, we would support him.
Got it. That's great, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Mehta from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on a decent revenue performance despite the market being challenging. So my question is on our market share. So if you see last 3 years, despite our growth rate slowing down, we have still grown much better than what the category has grown, and as well as vis-a-vis our competitor. So what kind of market share gain we would have basically done in last 3 years or so?
You see, if I compare the figure of life last 5 years, in a sanitary ware, when you talk about, you know, we hardly had in organized sector about 18% 5 years back.
Right.
Today, we are more than 23-24% in organized market.
Okay.
And when you talk about a faucet ware, you know, still I would admit very candidly, Jaguar is a market leader. 1 to 10 is Jaguar. But that offers a tremendous amount of a scope for number 2, number 3 player, though, you know, I can't go straight to number 2, but I can always reduce the gap that currently we have from 1 to 11. We can go to 1 to 7, 1 to 8. Faucet business has been giving, you know, even despite the subdued conditions, we have been, you know, on a rise.
Okay.
Which gives us a better growth also. And tiles, of course, you know, we are just a drop in the ocean.
Okay.
So that business, you know, but then the brand perception or a brand for a tiles is secondary always, because people always would like to take this, what design you like. Because otherwise everybody gives a vitrified tiles. What price you give, if you like a design and you like the price, probably brand becomes slightly secondary on that part, because nobody wants to know once it is fitted, which brand have you fitted.
Right.
Therefore, you know, the decisions for really getting into tiles, and when it comes from House of Cera, which is very dependable quality manufacturers of the bathroom products, we do not have any other issues.
Okay. You have given a very promising outlook, but now consider that almost last 3 years the real estate activity has been quite benign. So, if assuming that the real estate activity picks up, will that aid our growth much better, or it will faster our growth rates, or how it will be? This will be
definitely. Ultimately, we all depend on the real estate industry, and we see a tremendous opportunity in an affordable housing segment. And when you talk affordable housing segment, you know, there are three subdivisions of it. The first division is up to 12 lakhs, you know. We are not into that category.
Right.
The second division is about, you know, anything between 12 lakhs to 25 lakhs. We have slight presence there. We outsource some of the products and we give the cheaper material. And the third category starts, you know, from 25 to 60 lakhs. We definitely are there.
Okay. Right.
So when, you know, that activity picks up, and we are anywhere, you know, very strong in tier 2, tier 3 towns, rather than, you know, you don't see us much that kind of a presence in metros.
Hmm.
We are a value for money product. You know, we always compare ourselves as Marutis. We are neither a Toyota nor a Honda. Leave aside Mercedes and BMWs. And we feel that the horizontal growth in these tier 2 and tier 3 towns will be faster than what the metro would be growing.
Right.
And therefore, affordable housing, when you talk about, you know, even if one starts spend about 60 lakhs, 70 lakhs of rupees, you know, it's a reasonable, decent apartment one can get in tier 2, tier 3 towns, where our product could definitely go into it. And now there is a lot of improvements in terms of recognizing the brand importance. Even people in tier 2, tier 3 towns are very much aware about what Nike shoes is all about or what a Rado watch. They know what brand is and what brand can play. And therefore, if you offer them a good brand, dependable brand at a price which is reasonable, yes, people are there to buy.
Right, right. That's helpful, sir. So now, considering that we are largely present in tier 2, tier 3 towns, obviously our distributors also will be majorly present in those cities. So how has been the GST compliance by a distributor and from a distributor to an end retailer? Have we seen the compliance level same in tier 2, tier 3?
You need to give me one more quarter about this because, you know, we are still not, even in metros, if I ask you a question, even the large dealer doesn't know what return he has to file today.
Right. Right.
Even the GST regime has not come out and activated a couple of their regions. So, you know, today the question is premature in terms of the time. Maybe give me one or more, two quarters. I'll certainly answer your questions.
Sure, sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you and all the very best.
Pleasure. Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Omkar Kulkarni, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, my question was, like, you mentioned that the larger players will be acquiring the smaller ones in view of GST. So, do you have plans of anything like that?
Look, we are in a business. We keep on getting such kind of a propositions every week, every fortnight. But then, you know, we are always trying to take a call which suits our business objectives, our business plans. And a lot of things in terms of when you try to acquire, you know, the books have to be examined. The due diligence do not many times support our kind of cleanliness and a corporate governance that we would like to. So generally what we do is initially we try to, you know, subcontract or try to buy as a buyer-seller, a supplier agreement with them. We try to see the quality of the product, their consistency, how they deal. And then we feel that, okay, they've maybe one of those lots, then only you really think about whether it makes sense to really buy them out or still it's worthwhile to continue the same relations of buying, selling. But we are in a business, as I said, you know, we have any good opportunities, we would always, we are a cash-rich company. So that does not really limit us that, okay, we can't look into those.
But have you come across such companies?
We do keep on, as I said, you know, but then, you know, when you try to examine, they don't, you know, pass our test. So we said, okay, let's continue only with buying and selling arrangements. And sometimes even when you try to really take the discussions further, the expectations of the valuations go skyrocketing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to really see that, okay, whether the right value are you able to buy them.
Yeah. And another question was, you mentioned in 3 to 5 years, the growth rate might be 18 to 20% on the top line. So, what are the margin levers so that you can improve the margin sustainably, like 50 odd basis point every year, like 2-3% in 3-5 years time?
Look, we have a product efficiency or a productivity or an efficiency or incentivization schemes for all unemployed which are related to the productivity. So there's one positive signal always goes without compromising a quality. One has to really adhere to something where it contributes towards improvisation. Second thing is, you know, the cost control, which is in our control, whatever the way we try to do it. But then when you talk about a margin, it also depends upon the market. At what price are we able to sell our product, and are we able to pass on the cost boost to our end user customer? So far, so yes, we have been able to do that. So we hope that, okay, in a time to come, we should be able to maintain a margin. And if you really see historically for last 3 or 5 years, we had almost about 14% EBITDA margin. Now we have gone to about 17.5%. Leave aside only this quarter.
Yeah.
So there have been a steady, you know, work going on how we improvise our EBITDA margins.
Yeah.
So without you saying anything, you know, company has been very agile, has been very considerate, concerned about us. So
yeah,
these are ongoing process.
Okay. And one more suggestion, the volumes on the stock exchanges for the company shares have been very low. So given the reserves you have, or you can expect, or can you just come up with a bonus issue or like a stock split?
Well, you are a shareholder. If you are a shareholder, you could always suggest that part, but the decision is not, I can't come in, it's a board decision.
Yeah, just I'm giving a suggestion.
You
like,
can always, you can always, you know, put forward your suggestions, which will be carried forward to that. But, you know, I personally feel that I am nobody to really answer this question. You know, I can appreciate the volumes are comparatively less, but then, yes, even, you know, there are no seller that you would really come across, and there are always a buyer. And generally, you know, despite this kind of a thing, the share price, if you really see last 5 years, you yourself would know where we were and where we are.
Yeah, that time the base was low, right? Now the base has gone up as well, right?
But even today also, you know, if it, yes, he's always like that, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't expect that to go, you can't expect that, okay, we'll grow in the same fashion that we grew in last 5 years. He's always there, yes.
So I'm just giving the suggestion, so you can put
forward. Your suggestion are welcome. We'll take it, carry it forward to the management that, okay, you have been suggesting this. We'll carry it forward.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Bhaskar Chakravarti from Smart Karma Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to know, after 1st of July, have you been purchasing from people who are non-GST compliant, or have you been selling to dealers and distributors who are not yet on the GST platform?
No, we are not. Because, you know, the first conditions for our suppliers, yes, if you just say that chota mota purchase is king hoga, which is less than 1,000, 2,000, which can be non-GST. But then when you talk about a complete supply chain, no way. It has to be GST compliant. It's one of the conditions. Even if he doesn't know how to get those registrations, our team would help them.
Okay, so basically your guidance about second quarter things improving factors in the fact that almost the entire distribution chain that you have is GST compliant.
It has to be.
Okay, and is there a number that you can put, sir, about the non-compliance in the distribution chain?
Well, I do not know as of now, but then we do not encourage as a policy. And these exercises we had started almost about 6 months back, the moment our SAP SAP was in place, you know. We always had those kind of circulars going to every suppliers as mailers to them that, okay, as soon as you get GST number, please intimate us. And then the GST regime was opened for getting a registration for a migration from current VAT or from the service tax. Our people were after them.
Right.
Because earlier also, anyway, we were not, you know, encouraging any purchase from unregistered dealer who was not VAT registered. So it was more of a migration rather than anybody coming new who never had an exposure to the tax regime and he's trying to avoid or getting into it. It was purely of a migration more. Almost about 95-98% is migration.
Right. No, I asked you because earlier you were making a point that you need one more quarter to give an opinion about the compliance, etc., even in metropolitan cities.
No, the question is about that, you know, what would happen and what is, how are they doing it? Now, I would not know what are the way that they would be really, you know, in terms of the stock that they carry, what is their offtake which is related to GST. And therefore, you need to give a quarter how a complete, you know, the streamlined things is seamless, or are there any flaws? Because we need to experience that part. Everybody is new to GST.
Understood. And sir, the last question is that in the segment where government is giving a very reasonable amount of interest subvention in the affordable housing scheme, is that a customer segment for us at all? Or is that, like you say, very low ticket size?
I answered that question only about two questions before. When you talk about affordable housing, there are three segments. You know, is up to 12 lakhs where we are not there. Is 12 to 25 lakhs, yeah, we are there. And 25 to 60 lakhs, yes, we definitely are there. And we are here, above that also we are there. So our mass or a popular range do go into that part. And we outsource where, you know, we feel that, okay, it's not worthwhile for us to manufacture. But we outsource and we supply, and when we outsource, we have a cheaper cost, and when the brand gets attached to it, we get as much price and the margin as we are otherwise getting.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kaushal Bothra from Crisil Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. So just one follow-up question. What would be your capacity utilization across segments?
Well,
own capacity versus outsourced.
Sanitaryware is 98%, 99%. And faucet is, the increased capacity is used at about 55-60%.
Okay.
Anjanitized is about 80%.
For this quarter?
Yes.
Okay. This is your own manufacturing capacity?
Exactly.
Okay. And any sense on outsourced?
We are 50% outsourced in sanitaryware, and we also 50% outsourced in faucet.
Okay, you still continue to outsource?
Yeah, we continue to outsource.
For this quarter, if you can give the utilization, I mean...
I gave you the utilization.
Okay, sure. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranav Mehta from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Congratulations on good set of number and thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand on the capex front. So, what you are expecting the capex for next 2 years?
Well, we have a rolling plan which is about 180-200 crores, which is a rolling plan. Current year we have estimate of about close to 90 crores.
Okay. Okay. And sir, on the other side, this how is the push going on in the north and the central India? So basically...
It's improving.
Yeah, okay. So these are actually virgin markets for you and...
Well, I would not say totally virgin, but you know, mm-hmm. we had a presence which had to be, re-emphasized, repositioned.
Okay. And sir, on the this Isvia JV, so how is it panning out?
Well, Isvia is basically in a very luxury premium segment.
Right.
We compete either the high range of Toto or Duravets. The reason why we brought in Isvia is very different. We need to understand that first. You know, we are a value for money product, and therefore,
right.
you know, we have a single brand. When we really talk to any architects, any interior designers who really is going for a high level or a global brand, Sarah Perch, despite you like the quality, you like the design, you know, you are always known as you are Sarah, which is a middle range. And therefore, we need to bring in something, you know, a product which we promote. And therefore, we have these Isvia arrangements. But up the ladder as you go, you know, it's too competitive a market because for a very small fraction market, half a dozen global players are competing like Roka, Deravit, Toto, Kohler, American Standard, maybe Isvia, and maybe a few more.
Right.
The market share that you would expect is not an objective, but it's more of a brand and a presence that we want there.
Right. And sir, on the tiles front, any news on this Rajasthan cluster? So anything that has come up?
See, currently not. The reason is we only booked the land and Rajasthan ceramic zone is still not functional. It may take at least another year and a half down the line. But we have bought the land because eventually we want to also have a presence in the northern as well as in the western India where we have a freight advantage if we start manufacturing tiles from there. Currently, we cater to this market from Morbi.
Right, sir. Okay.
And southern market, now we have started catering from our engineering tiles.
Right, sir. Yeah. Thank you, for that's it from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikrant Kashyap from Kedia Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, good morning and congratulations on good set of numbers.
Yeah, Vikrant, tell me.
Sir, would you please share about our distribution network plans for the year and studio opening plans?
We have an ongoing plan. You know, we have almost about 1,500 distributors and 1 to 10 in the ratio is about 15,000 touch points for retail. But I have always been saying, you know, that about 50% are very active. The rest of the 50% remain active, inactive. You know, you need to have a push on that part. So generally, the 80% of the business comes only from those who are 50%, as I said it, you know.
Right.
and therefore we also try to reactivate them. That's an ongoing process. Not only that, we further try to add on the distribution channel. Wherever we are strong, you know, we further try to intensify that. Wherever we are slightly less of a presence, we try to create our presence there. So this is an ongoing, as I said. It, you know, we also supported with marketing efforts in terms of brand representation, visibility, some road shows about that part.
Mm-hmm.
So this is independent process by itself. Now, again, coming back to the questions about the studio that you are saying, you know, we already have 10 studio. We very recently opened up one more in Cochin in April. And we have plans even to go for a further couple of more also in a time to come, maybe in a year, year and a half down the line. Maybe we are eyeing, you know, Vijayawada as well as Amaravati, which is a new state which is coming up, Telangana. So this is one area where we feel that, okay, we have a studio, whether our own or a hired one as of now to begin with would make sense. So that's an area we are trying to focus more on that part. And we are, as a parallel measure, trying to promote what you call a Sera Galaxy, where, you know, some progressive large dealers who can allocate about 1,200 or 2,000 square feet of an area, purely to demonstrate Sera's product.
Right.
And we promote that, you know, we have as of now about 150 across, and we are also trying to promote that, which intensifies further.
Okay, that's right, sir. And could you please share how has been growth in sanitaryware and faucetware in the first quarter?
Sanitaryware has been almost steady. You know, we grew only by about marginally about 3%. Faucet has grown slightly more. And the tiles has grown slightly more than even both these products.
So this quarter's tiles has outperformed ours?
As of, in terms of growth, but not in terms of the overall absolute amount.
Okay, sir. Thank you, and wish you best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next, we have a follow-up question from the line of Chintan Sheth from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Chintan Sheth, you may go ahead with the question.
Thanks for the follow-up, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So my question was on the sanitaryware expansion, 4.3 million. Where are we right now? Are we
are almost, you know, we are at a completion stage. You know, we have not rolled it out only because currently the market situation is so dynamic and it's not really taking over, that kind of a thing.
Right.
So we do not want to really say, look, yes, you know, we have a capacity, we are not able to use it. So, you know, we by very small balancing equipment we can add on. So we are, we probably feel that once the market revives in terms of acceptability, in terms of more product we can push there, it would be made operation in 2 months.
Okay. Any expansion in tile side at Anjani, or we are...
Anjani, you know, we are trying to revamp the entire product mix where we would like to go for more of a GVT, which is a more high value added, you know, currently, or when we started, it was only soluble salt. And then GVT was hardly about 5 or 7%, but then we upgraded the technology and we hope that, okay, the combination in a time to come would remain about 70% from a soluble salt and 30% come from the GVT, where the margin would be better.
Okay. So 90 crore capex, just trying to understand where are we basically spending on?
You know, we have about 10 crores almost coming from the expansion and modernization of the sanitaryware plant, because there's a normal capex we need to incur. That's one, which also, as you said, you know, we're raising capacity to 0.3 million. So gradually that also gets absorbed to that part. We have another about 1.5 crores going for our investments in subsidiaries. That's for the Anjani plant. And we have about 17 crores is, you know, we have a Cochin studio that we have already
started.
Done it.
Uh-huh.
And we have also trying to have a corporate office in Ahmedabad. So we have incurred close to about 29 crore as of now, and 89 crore that we aspire. We'll have about close to about 18 crore, 19 crore will go for normal capex expansion for sanitaryware. And we'll have close to about faucetware plant also will absorb about 14 crores because we are upgrading technology. We are trying to make it more robotic and automatic there. We also would like to add on a plant capacity where some of the handles of some of the designs which are zinc-based, which everybody as of now imports from China, we are putting up a plant for our own.
Okay.
Which will give us more maneuverability of the product designs as well as a better margin.
Okay.
So this is how largely it would be made up in terms of our expansion in the CapEx.
Okay, sir. Thanks. That was helpful. Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you. Next, we have a follow-up question from the line of Omkar Kulkarni, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. You have said that 50% is currently outsourcing. Am I right on that front?
You are right, definitely right. On a faucet, yes, you are very right. We have 50% outsourcing there.
Only for the faucet.
And we have almost another about 50% outsourcing from sanitaryware as well.
Okay, so are you planning to bring down that further?
Why would I bring down that further? You know, as long as we are able to use our capacities, we are also increasing capacities for sanitaryware. But there are different ways we use a capacity, and why we go for an outsourcing, there are different logic and reasoning. We generally have an outsourcing for a sanitaryware where we have a low-end product which we do not find economical to manufacture in our factory, number one. Or we have a very high premium range which we import from China and Vietnam.
Okay.
And as for the faucet is concerned, we outsource a lower range. We also outsource so much of the internal parts.
Okay, so the range in which you are currently operating, you are not outsourcing anything. The middle range.
When you talk about, you know, let's say upper market, when we talk about, how we, you know, you need to understand the logic how we fill up a production capacity. We have a complete cost structure ready with our variable cost.
Yeah.
For every product, whether it is small or a big or it's a low value or a high value. Now, as you know, we try to book capacities where our contributory margins is higher. And as we come close to that, now we are filling up a capacity. And when we feel that, okay, now the margin gets reduced here in terms of contribution, we outsource that part. Because we would like to use our capacity where our contributory margin becomes the highest.
Okay, right. Yeah, and in terms of studio, what are your long-term plans for this?
Well, it's basically a brand building effort. You know, we don't sell anything from there. You know, it's only creating awareness. You know, we have so many products. A dealer or a distributor would always have a constraint of the space to demonstrate them. And therefore, we need to support them. You know, we are still not used to buy a product based on a literature or on a book. You want to see that product. Now, where do you see? Now, they can't demonstrate. So, we need to open up a studios where we can demonstrate. And these studios are large studios. You know, they have over 10,000, 15,000 square feet of an area. So, you demonstrate, you find every product there and you really choose a design, take a code number, go back to a dealer. Though he does not have that in his stock, he can arrange it for the others.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
So, studio is basically to facilitate.
Yeah, just to do the brand awareness thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. What can you say that if, like, what can be the next game-changing thing for Cera? Like, what can happen so that you can grow faster once again, apart from the market situation getting resolved?
It's a game changer that in terms of the market that we are talking is a complete affordable housing market which will open up tremendously, which is not there, number one. This can become a really game changer. And we are really, a product positioning wise, we really fit into this category.
Okay.
In terms of game changer at the factory, and you know, we have a tremendous amount of an energy cost which is fairly under our control, power as well as gas. We stand to an advantage to that. We are now trying to automize a lot of production process for a consistency and uniformity in the quality.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. That was the last question, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak for any closing comments.
Thanks. Bharat, a couple of points as I wanted to understand.
Yeah,
we have taken the price hike across all the product categories, sir?
Across all.
That is sanitary ware, tiles, faucets?
Everywhere.
Okay. That is from July, right?
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, sir, how much total investment will go in Anjani, you said? This was equity.
Anjani, you know, we are currently, we have about 27 crores we have invested into that part, and we'll go another by about 5 crores more.
This year?
Yes.
So the total investment would be how much, including our contribution and the debt part of it all?
We have equal 50-50. You know, he's 49, we are 51. So whenever we contribute, he also contributes 49%.
So 5 plus 5 crore, that is 10 crore of equity.
You know, we are upgrading completely in terms of going for a GVT.
Mm-hmm. So 10 crore is what we will put up, right? Put together?
Yeah, all put together. And then, you know, it's in stage one. Once we stabilize that, okay, yes, this is a product, there's a quality we are accepting, we'll go for stage three, further upgrading that part.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a capacity that, you know, we are adding on to that part in terms of slightly a conversion of the STD and try to modify that.
Okay. And do we also take some debt on that, or there is no debt?
There is a debt, yes.
So put together 10 crore of equity plus how much debt also would go in?
No, originally though we have an equity which is larger equity. No,
but now we say 5 plus 5, 10 crore will go as equity.
No, further debt we are not raising.
Okay. So this is
equity.
This is 10 crore of investment, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
15 crore, you know, 7.5 crores we have done it. 7.5 crores they have done also. So it's about 15 crore already done.
Okay.
And now 5 crores more may come.
Sure.
20 crores.
Okay. Secondly, sir, the purchase of traded goods, if you see, this quarter has gone from 77 crore to 111 crore. So there is more of out. It's a 44% increase in the purchase of traded goods. So is it more on the tile side or?
It's
tile side.
Your tiles.
Okay. And lastly, sir, about the RERA thing, do you see the projects commissioning or the pipeline is slowed down or now that has been now passed through and how the project side launch you see?
It is slowed down, but then there are a lot of new projects from a larger builder coming up who are getting organized and they are also trying to buy affordable market as a big market.
Mm-hmm.
And even the bigger builder in metros would go down to tier 2, tier 3 town. That's what these estimations are. The CREDAI has been encouraging them that
mm-hmm.
you need to take up, you know, like Godrej, for example, would have a township for about 2 bedroom. Or maybe you, for that matter, you have so many other equivalent big people who can cross
mm-hmm.
Will get into that segment. That's what is being eyed at because... there is more of a need base rather than an investment.
Mm-hmm. But from the smaller developers, you
but
see...
Currently, what is happening, you know, there's a lot of excess inventory. Even Godrej in Ahmedabad, mm-hmm. I'm just talking about, you know, they still have unsold inventory lying here.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, though, despite they would like to do it, you know, they are not coming out with a fresh project because of the excess inventory already there. Now, once that gets absorbed, which may take about a year, 6 months, or maybe a year and a half, who knows about it. So then the things would really start, but anybody who is in a business starts planning it is 2 years ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
Identifying land, you know. So that's the movement, but you know, the product that they would absorb from our factory will take at least about a year, year and a half down the line. So RERA, when starts movement, it really gives us in effect only our till that. Therefore I said, this year is a year of a consolidation. You know,
sure.
You... I'll be happy if I grow with about double digit, 12-15%.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If I can have more growth, I'll be more happy to share with you. But let's be very conservative about this.
Sure. Right, sir. Great. So thank you very much, sir, for all the insights and the inputs that you provided. So with that, we conclude the call. Any closing remarks that you want to make?
Yes, I would thank everyone, and I would hope to see them again after the first half and the second quarter of the season. And if anybody has any further question, they can always reach me out. I'm always there to answer their individual queries.
Sure.
And I thank everyone who joined this call. Thank you very much, Kamlesh Bhai, in you particular, because you have been helping us.
Sure.
And the intermediaries or the one who has been organizing these calls, Hemant, I believe, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I thank him as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much. Asian Market Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.